I didn't start getting nervous, but I got a notice that they were going to rezone this property next to me. And I went down to the city to see about whether or not, what to see this guy's building permit for what he was doing over there. And they had a building permit issued to him for $5,000 cost to build this water storage tank, which was allowed in HDB zoning, supposedly. Well, it had a cover letter on it that said that it had nothing to do with the PDO that this Cody guy was proposing to rezone this property, which to me was a big red flag. I mean, you say it's not going, as it's not nothing to do with something that it, or anything, you know that it has something to do with anything. And anyway, I just could not believe this was going on. So we were gonna have the second or third meeting, I can't remember anymore, but I went down. This guy here in town, his name was Mike. Supposedly was a graduate. Had a master's degree in city planning, and they happened to overhear me one day, and they was talking. He said that what they were doing was illegal, and that I should go get an attorney, and then he recommended this guy named Dietza out of Boulder. So I called this Dietza guy up for an appointment to go down and see him about whether or not I had a case against these people to stop the Sun Country plant. So I went down there and met with this Dietza. Can't even remember his name right now. This guy is a cowardly thief, man. He is a man of the system. And he milked me like I've never been milked before, I'll tell you. He was slick. But anyway, getting back to this meeting, I was going over these different things that were in the zoning ordinance, but they weren't meeting, you know, the different requirements. And he kept telling me I didn't have a case, you know, every time I asked him a question. Finally, I told him, I said something to the effect that, well, you know, they were building this concrete plant already, and I didn't know what to do. And he said, what do you mean you're building? He says, they can't build anything until on this PDO property until they've got final approval. He says, you saved the best to last. He says, if that's true, if they've already issued the building permit, and I showed it to him. And I says, but they got this cover letter on that says it has nothing to do with the PDO. He says, this is all bullshit by the town. He says, they cannot do anything on that property. So I says, okay. I says, this gives me a lawsuit, can we get him stopped? He says, yeah. He says, and he gave me the example of how some liquor store had built a liquor, some people had built this building and put a liquor store in it, and it was never approved. And they ended up losing, and that was what would happen here. The building, of course, wasn't taken down. They just put some other kind of business in it, but the liquor store had to go away because it wasn't zoned for that kind of a business. So he says, that's exactly what they're doing here. He says, we can stop this, no problem. So he told me to go up and take a bunch of pictures of what was going on, about what they built, and I did this, and Mike Carmody was his name, the guy here in Grand Lake that had introduced or referenced this pizza guy to me. Mike Carmody, I take all these pictures of his property, and I show him to Mike, and Mike comes down there and looks at it, and he goes up to the concrete plant with me and sees all the dust that they're making and everything, and sees my plight, and agrees, you know, this is wrong. So I'm paying this Mike Carmody guy money for consulting or whatever. And I told him that this pizza guy was coming up to the next meeting to look, and he's going to be up here early, and I said, come dinner with us before the meeting, and we'll go look at this. So Dietza came up, and we drove around, and we looked at this property out there that they were building on, just west of me. And then we went down to the restaurant, and Mike Carmody, I can't remember if he was with me or if he met me there afterwards, and I introduced him to Dietza. He must have met me there. So, you know, we had this conversation about how DEPA could stop this because they were building there and they didn't have final approval there. You know, they bannered. We talked back and forth about what was going on. Finally, the meeting was there, and DEPA went into the meeting with me. Listen to what they had to say, and you know, I don't know what was all said. But anyway, after the meeting, DEPA told me, he says, well, he says, they're not doing this right. He says, send me copies of all the meetings, minutes that have gone on, and we'll look into this a little further. So I did that. I got copies of the previous meetings and sent them down to DEPA. I cannot remember his first name, but I'll think of it later. So I sent these minutes down to DEPA, and I had left the zoning ordinance with DEPA the first time I was down there. And DEPA had been studying that ordinance to see once what it said. And he gets the copy of these minutes. He calls me one day, about a week or so before this, the town is supposed to have this final meeting for approval of this concrete plan. He says, Marv, he says, there's something wrong here. He says, well, I've looked through these minutes. He says, are these the only meetings that they've had? And that was the truth. I said, that's all the meetings they've had. He says, well, if this is all the meetings they've had, they have a serious procedural error here. At least that's what he called it later on. He says, they've left out at least two public hearings. And basically, they're trying to short-circuit this whole process to get this approved. And I says, well, great. I says, that just adds to our case, right? And he says, no. He says, this is the case. He says, we don't even have to worry about the upzoning as far as them building there. He says, we can stop it based on this. So I says, well, great. I says, how do we go about this? He says, we go and we tell them. And I says, if it'll get it stopped, if it'll be a done deal, I says, let's get it done. Let's stop it. So he wrote up this letter to the town, how they were doing it wrong, and brought it up with him at the meeting, the final meeting, and explained to him how they were doing this wrong. And of course, Dochev's attorney is all defensive, and the town attorney is all defensive that they're doing it right. And DEPA continues to explain to him how they've left out these public hearings. And then they take a break. Okay, and of course, all along, I had contended with the town that this was pre-approved. And they said it wasn't, of course. And I says, well, why did you issue the building permit? And they said that they could because that was allowable in HDB zoning. But what, and this is interesting, later on, an article came out in our local paper. There were a lot of articles about this. Of course, it was September 7th of 2000 in the Sky High News. There was an article about how Granby tickets Mountain View muffler over junk. And they've got a little caption on the picture of my building. It says, ticketed. Mountain View muffler was ticketed by the town of Granby for a junk violation. In the foreground is the foundation for a proposed concrete batch plant proposed for a site near Mountain View Muffler. Well, it didn't occur to me at the time when this article came out, but how can you have a foundation for a proposed concrete plant? Everybody knew that this concrete plant was going in, even though they hadn't had final approval yet. And this was a joke. I mean, the whole community knew that this was going to happen, and I knew it was going to happen, but I was basically listening to this DEPA that this was going to get stopped. Well, what he told them this, and what, they had a big recess in this meeting, and went outside, and they're all screaming at each other, and they go back in after 15 minutes and sit down, and lo and behold, it doesn't stop anything. The town makes this resolution 2000 that this is not a final meeting, even though it's been advertised in the local paper, as in the public notices. The newspaper, Patrick Brower, the editor, has written an article that this is the final meeting and it should meet approval because it's such an important thing, it's needed by the community. Well, it was needed, but it should have stayed where it was, up there in the concrete plant, up in the gravel pit. Besides, this Dochev guy owned 5 acres right there by the gravel pit. He could have put it there. He didn't need to rezone anything. He could have put it right there. But he, you know, this guy had this hard on for me that for 10 years that he was going to get even with me. And he said this in so many words on more than one occasion. And anyway, well, he was doing it. That's whatever, you know. I'm fighting for my life here because this is my future. This is my retirement. I need to get this stopped. Anyway, they make this resolution 2000 that they are at a preliminary meeting, and they're making certain that everybody knows it now, and that they can do this. Well, Dietze tells me, of course, they're still, it's illegal. They can't do it. You know, they had the final meeting advertised. They're at the final meeting, and now they're changing it and saying it's a preliminary meeting. And he convinces me that we still got a good case. He says they can go on and do whatever they want. We're going to get this stopped. So I, of course, believe him, and I just keep paying him. And up until that time, I paid him probably about $5,000. Anyway, we got this lawsuit going on, and this newspaper guy, Patrick Breyer, this guy is the scum of the earth also, which is most, so many of these people up here are for different reasons. But this guy hated me, because when I first came up here in 91, the gambling issue was getting started up here. And I'm just sitting around my condo reading this newspaper, and this guy is just blasting. I mean, he's just belittling them and slandering them, as far as I was concerned, just making the pro gamblers look like fools. And I thought, well, what's wrong with these people? They got no economy up here. Here's something that's happened down there in Blackhawk and over at Cripple Creek, and it's done good economic things for those communities. Why is he so against this? I never could understand it. So I finally, after he blasted some people that I knew here in town, I wrote him a letter. And, you know, told him, hey, this is America, you know, leave these people alone, you know, this needs, you don't have to be making them look like some kind of fools, you know, was the whole gist of my letter. Anyway, you know, he just didn't know who Marv Emeyer was, but he definitely hated me because I, you know, said some things in the paper that were right on the button. I mean, I had an attorney for a neighbor at the time. His name was Sommermeyer, Butch Sommermeyer. Told him his first name was Mayo. He's out of Fort Collins, I believe. But they had the house down below me here, and he said, Marv, he says, what you're saying in the newspaper is exactly right. You know, he says, I'm all behind you. And it was encouraging, you know. Well, you know, this is small town politics, and what do I know about small town politics other than they're usually not good? And I just figured, well, I'm kind of immune to a lot of this, and this was back in 92 yet, and didn't realize how much it was going to affect what I was doing. This newspaper guy, Patrick Brower, had told me after I started the muffler shops on a couple of different occasions, because I called him, and I was advertising with him and so forth. He said that he was going to come down and we'd do an article on my little business. Well, he never did do it. You know, he was doing everything he could to keep me from getting any additional publicity. It's one of those, it's a kind of a community that in order for you to get ahead, you have to keep the neighbor down. You've got to keep, you got to be bad-mouthing everybody. It's not, you know, build yourself up on your own merits. It's tear the other guy down, however you can do it, legally, of course. I'm going to take a break here.
I guess I'm not going to take a break.
I'll lose my train of thought. Anyway, this Patrick Brower, I mean, he's a pothead. Of course, you can't tell anybody that. You know, a big liberal, army brat, has had everything in his life given to him. You know, but he knows how to abuse the power of the pen. And that's a big thing up here, is abuse of power. They said that to me one time, that I didn't have any respect for authority. And that's not the truth at all. The truth is, I have the utmost respect for authority, but they don't. They didn't respect the FDIC or its procedures. They don't respect good people coming in the community. They only respect what they want. And if they're in that power circle, that's the way it's going to be, they believe. And you're not going to get in if you've done anything to offend them in any way. Well, I guess that's their right in America.
but I've got my rights too. Maybe they're wrong when I exercise these rights, but I really don't care. I am going to exercise this right because we are given this freedom to do what we want to do until we do something wrong, and then we have to pay for it. Well, these people have figured out a pretty good way, being a small community, how to get away with doing things wrong and doing it legally. And I'll get into that a little bit more later on. But getting back to the newspaper article, I mean, how can you have a friggin' a foundation for a proposed concrete plant, you know? This was a pre-approved deal. And I just didn't, I've never been through any town politics before, but because this was affecting me so adversely, I was definitely learning, and, you know, but it was always a day late and a dollar short with me, and my attorney wasn't helping me at all. It was kind of sad, and the town paper was actually, this Brower guy was pissed off as hell when he found out that we caught the town with their pants down. You know, he wrote in the paper that I'd gotten some hotshot attorney out of Boulder to stop this whole thing, and he was no hotshot attorney, he was doing his job, which, getting back to that personally, I believe with all my heart that both the town attorney and Daly, Rich Daly was Dochev's attorney, and the town attorney, I forget his name right now, for Granby, the same one for Grand Lake, they were in cahoots on this deal, where they figured that no one would know the procedure because they had never done a PDO before, a commercial PDO, and they figured that what did they have to lose? They would just go ahead and try to get this through, and it would probably go through, no problems. But of course, this hotshot attorney, according to the paper, caught them with their pants down. Well, do you think that they would ever thank me for putting them on the straight and narrow, on the right path to get this done right? No, you know, and I agree. I screwed up. That's what I'm agreeing to, screwing up. We should have never told them what we did. And as a matter of fact, the night of that final meeting when they made that resolution, or the night that he pointed out to them that they were doing this wrong, at 2:30 in the morning, I sent this Dietz attorney of mine at 2:30 in the morning an email, because I came home after the meeting and read the ordinance again, and I says, I think that we've spoken too soon, and that we shouldn't have told him, that we should have let him have the final meeting, and that we actually should have had a lawsuit filed 30 days later. Had we done it that way, we would have been able to get an injunction against the building that was continuing. We probably could have gotten some of my attorney's fees or all of my attorney's fees, and actually, you know, made these people out, this town attorney and this Rich Daly and the Dochevs and the town council and the planning commission, to show the town the real mafia type tactics that they were using. And that's all they are they're criminals. You know, they bend the law, and they got caught, and that pissed them off, and, you know, so now they really hate me. Well, I'm sorry, you know. It's my future. It's my life. I am an independent business person, and only I am responsible for my future and my income and my livelihood. And they're threatening that. And they're pissed off because I'm trying to defend my property and my livelihood against this. And that doesn't make any sense, you know? Well, anyway, I'm just getting a little upset here, so let me try to settle down. Get back to the point here. I'm not happy with the attorney, but what choice do I have? They've done this resolution 2000. They go on with these meetings. He's telling me that they're still illegal. We're going to go to court. We're going to win. And of course, it's all salesmanship. And I'm supposed to, and I'm talking to this Mike Carmody guy who's supposed to be consulting with me. He says, Dietz is right. He says, they're doing this wrong. So I've got two people telling me that Dietz is wrong. And I told Carmody I thought he screwed up, but Carmody said, no, but Dietz knows what he's doing. Well, Dietz didn't know what he was doing, or else the corruption up here is worse than I thought. And it is. It is. I have no concept of how corrupt these people can be. But anyway, you know, I'm looking, my business has gone to hell. Oh, and getting back to 99, when these first meetings were coming, when we were going through all this approval, it was in 99 that I went, I think we'd already started the lawsuit. And they're going to put in water and sewer to this 22 acres, or they're going to get it approved. And, you know, I'm wanting my water and sewer hooked up. And I made this known in the minutes at the Planning Commission meeting and the Town Council meeting. And the guy who owned a motel over there, Boyce was his name, from the Boyce Insurance Agents. David Boyce, I believe his name is, had made a written request that they have water and sewer easements to their motels, to that section of land. They weren't in the town. It was county-owned property. It was county-zoned property, but they wanted rights to get to the water and sewer. And, you know, I told this to Carmody, and Carmody says, well, yeah, he says, they have to give that to you, too. And that's why I asked for it. They could not discriminate against me as a neighbor. If I wanted water and sewer, they had to give that to me, too. So I believe that's what was happening. Although I never asked, sent them a formal letter requesting it. It was just mentioned at the meetings. All right, and I had gone down to the Water and Sanitation District in 99 to review the minutes back from 92 to see once what we had all discussed and why I wasn't allowed on the and it hadn't been annexed in at that time. I go down to the Water and Sanitation District and get these minutes, and I start reading them, and I really can't believe these minutes, because there is not one mention of a maintenance easement being required for them to in order to allow me into the Water Sanitation District. There's not one mention of it, and that was probably 15 minutes of the discussion at the water meeting that night back in 90, in the fall of 92, was that I didn't have this maintenance easement. And I was just amazed that they had changed the minutes to reflect that we hadn't talked about that. Well, I come to find out later that the reason they eliminated that from being in the minutes was because if it ever